Good morning and welcome to our worship service. It's so good to be worshiping together as the Bethany family today. Glad that you all have joined us for this particular Sunday. I think most of you know that Pastor Susan will be away for the next 4 weeks, and we are delighted to welcome Pastor Russell Heinrich, who will be filling in for her. Pastor Heinrich has served the United Methodist Church for 29 years, having served at Annex and also the Mount Crawford Charge. He retired from pastoral ministry in 2019 and is currently serving as chaplain at Henry Funeral Home in Stanton. He enjoys hiking and is a certified instructor for rock steady boxing, working with individuals with Parkinson's disease. He and his wife Pam live in Verona and have 3 adult daughters and 2 granddaughters. We look forward to Reverend Heinrich's message later on in our service. Reverend Heinrich, welcome. Good to have you with us. One quick announcement before we begin our service. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us today, we have a new phone number for you to dial in. It's 540-317-0974, 540-317-0974. Thank you for that. Let's begin our service now with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to join together in worship this morning, whether we are here in person, outside in our parking lot, or in our homes watching on Facebook. Father, it's been a tough week as we observe the angry mob at our nation's capital while dealing with the effects of the pandemic. It is at times like this that we feel the world is out of control. Help us, at least for this hour, to put these events aside and to focus completely on your goodness, your love for each one of us, and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Give us strength and boldness of heart to proclaim your word of peace and salvation to a world that seems to have lost its way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Our first song is I Will Follow, so we ask you to please join us by humming along, and please stand as you're able.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone, where you go, I'll go, where you stay, I'll stay, when you move, I'll move. I will follow you, whom you love, I'll love, how you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you, yeah, I will follow you, yeah. Light into the world, light into my life, I will live for you alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find all I need in you alone, where you go, I'll go, where you stay, I'll stay, when you move, I'll move, I will follow you, whom you love, I'll love, how you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you, yeah, follow you, yeah. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. And I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah.
And you may be seated. Thank you. It's interesting singing without the mask and then trying to get it back on real quick to come back out and announce the next song. It's a juggling act. You know, we speak a lot about the world's problems, and I don't mean to diminish them, but what about our own problems? What about the hurt, the pain, the fear that we often feel in our own lives? Well, 1 John chapter 4 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love draws out or drives out fear. And that is, how do we have perfect love? It is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Yes. When we are grounded, standing in God's love, fear can't get in. It can't take over your life. Join us now as we sing our next song, Stand in Your Love.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. The shame no longer has a place to hide. I am not a captive to the lie. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. There's power that can break off every chain. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name, power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear
doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Good morning. Okay. Who loves Oreos? Then everybody love two hands up on that. Two chocolate cookies with a yummy white cream in the middle. You can take it apart and lick it, or you can eat the whole thing in one bite. Oreos, I think, are the best. I love Oreos. I get excited about Oreos. And I'm thinking, if I had a friend that had never tasted Oreos, can you imagine that that would be anyone? I would just have to say, you got to try this cookie. It's the best cookie you'll ever put in your mouth, especially if you dip it in milk first. I'd be so excited to tell my friends about the great taste of an Oreo. Well, today, we're going to hear a Bible story about Jesus and two men, Philip and Nathanael. Jesus was choosing disciples. Disciples are people that follow Jesus. And Philip had met Jesus, and immediately he knew that there was something really special about Jesus. And then Jesus had asked Philip to follow him. Well, Philip was so excited about this man, Jesus, that he ran to tell his friend Nathanael, because he wanted his friend to know Jesus too. And guess what? Nathanael went with Philip, and after he met Jesus, he decided to follow Jesus too. Can't you imagine how excited Philip was to have his friend with him? And both Philip and Nathanael became two of Jesus' 12 disciples, his closest friends. Jesus wants us to bring our friends to him too, and he wants us to tell them about how much he loves them. He wants all of us to follow him. So I was thinking, if I get so excited about sharing my Oreos, then I should get really excited to tell my friends about Jesus. He loves us all so very much, and he wants us to follow him with all of our heart and with all of our lives. And he wants us to share that love with others. And you know what? These are really great, but life with Jesus is better than all the Oreos I could ever eat. Let's talk to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for children of all ages, and thank you for simple things we love, like Oreos. But most of all, thank you for Jesus. Help us to be like Philip and be excited to tell our friends about Jesus. Help us to follow you with all of our hearts and all of our lives. We love you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And because I love you, there are packs of Oreos for you to take home on the table as you leave today. Just don't forget the milk.
This morning, our scripture reading comes from John 1, 43 through 51, and is to be read as a responsive reading. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Well, good morning. I greet you this morning in the name of God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is my privilege to come and to serve in this capacity for you all and for Susan. If any of you have ever had to do the work that part of what Susan's having to do in this next few weeks, helping to take care of issues relating to the loss of a parent or a loved one, then you understand how tedious and difficult it can be. So she definitely does need that time to be able to focus on those things. So as I am able, I try to serve and continue to serve and help out fellow pastors in their times of need. So again, it's my privilege to be here with you this morning. I was looking, and she was asking me, you know, what scriptures would I like to look to go with, and she's, of course, Susan said I could kind of, you know, have my own little leeway here, and as I was thinking about it, it'd be better to go ahead and go with the lectionary scriptures, and so this Sunday is the John chapter 1 scripture, and I want us to think a little bit more about Nathanael. You know, a lot of times we focus on Philip. But Nathanael's an interesting character, and how does he fit into who we are in the life of the church and as disciples of Jesus Christ? So we're gonna talk a little bit about that, and I think it is very fitting in regards to this time of the year and how we are acting and reacting as the body of Christ, the church. So I want us to think back. Now, if any of you all football fans, okay, I'll tell you a little story about back in 1983, the NFL, the National Football League, was preparing to do what it normally does. It's preparing for the draft. Now, for those of you who don't know, in professional sports, these teams will draft young college players and some who aren't even in college to become a part of their team because of their particular skills and abilities. And in this particular year of 1983, there were several quarterbacks that were, I mean, everybody was wanting one of them. I think the total is there were six, which is very uncommon for one particular draft class. And one of them had, they call it the rifle arm. He had a rifle arm. He could throw a football 70 yards and not break a sweat. But unfortunately, he knew the particular team that wanted him badly on their roster. Sadly, his father had an issue with one of the people who was in the front office of the team. And this particular player did not want to go to this team because they were the last place team in the NFL. He thought he was too good to go to a last place team. And so what he said, and he made it clear that if this team were to draft him, he would go play baseball. Now, he was a good baseball player. In fact, he was already a part of the farm system for the New York Yankees. But one sports writer wrote that if he'd have stayed with the Yankees, he would have never achieved the same level of notoriety and success because he couldn't hit a curveball. In the major leagues baseball, you better hit a curveball. And so here was a man prepared to walk away from millions of dollars for sure just because he didn't want to play for this one team. John Elway would eventually go on to have a stellar career because of what they call a blockbuster trade that allowed him to go to the Denver Broncos. And of course, after all the years he played, he won two Super Bowls, and he continues to be a part of the NFL today. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Nathaniel prior to the exchange between he and Philip. But one thing about Nathaniel that we do know is he's one who's not afraid to speak his mind. He's the prime example, though, for us, of one that is waiting for something, but he really doesn't have a clue on what he's waiting for. Now, the interesting thing is here's Nathaniel, and he is sitting underneath a fig tree. In ancient Jewish culture, the fig tree was a sign of peace. It was a symbol of a place where you could come and sit and rely on its shade to keep you cool from the sun. It provided food and comfort in its fruit. And so the thought was that a man could sit undisturbed for as long as he wished underneath that fig tree. Now, how many of us enjoy sitting underneath our own fig tree? We all love that time of peace. In fact, this morning before I even came here, I got up, let the dogs out, fed the dogs and the cats, and I sit down in my recliner, and I just kind of rock back, and I watch the sun rise, and then I have my devotion time. Has a peaceful moment. I could stay in that recliner forever. But I know that I can't. Because God's calling me to do something. God's moving me and stirring me to go out and to meet the world and to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The problem, though, is that we sometimes have this expectation, or we have our own goals that we wish to seek, and so we'll stay underneath our fig tree in our relative peace for as long as we want, and we will do whatever we can not to be disturbed. So if we're thinking about sitting underneath that fig tree and sitting in peace, maybe what we're not understanding is that, like Nathaniel, the one who has come to call us into service, the one who has called us to come into discipleship and to go out into the world, is trying to move us. But kind of like John Elway, we want to pick and choose and decide what that service is going to look like, or how we're going to, or who we're going to meet. There's peace in not being aware or worrying about who may disturb us. But Nathaniel was not prepared for the invitation. That invitation which Christ extended to Peter and Andrew, John and James, and to Philip, and then to Nathaniel. You see, Philip, and I like Jackie's children's message talking about the Oreo. And by the way, Jackie, Oreos are their own food group. Just, with or without milk, they are their own food group. Just never has made it into the FDA's classification. But Philip is like the one who has that Oreo, and he knows and he has tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And so his goal and his purpose is to share that. In the church, we like to use the term witness. Philip is going to witness to his faith and to witness to what he knows about Christ. And so he extends to Nathanael, and we should also be extending that invitation to come and see, to taste and see that the Lord is good. These words are like an invitation to a party that you've never expected to be invited to. They are the invitation to a wedding that you don't even know who the people are, but you know it's going to be good. It is the knock on the door that you must answer, because the one who stands on the outside knocking is the one who can show and share and love you in ways that you've never known before. And so we've got to be like Philip. Once we've experienced that, once we know that, once it's become a part of who we are, how can we not but go and share it? But back to Nathanael. When Jesus sees Nathanael, he comes and he makes a claim about his personality and character. Now, one of the things you have to kind of know, if we had the green screen and the weather map over here, you'll notice that there's a high coming in down from the north and it's creating the cold weather. But if you think about it, where they're at in the Galilee region, Nazareth is inland. Now, one of the things about historically is that there was a little bit of competition going in between some of these towns. Gives us a little bit of indication why Nathanael says what he says. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But also, too, it's a little bit of an image about sometimes who we are as human beings. Instead of actually being inquisitive in questioning, we want to make a statement that helps us to defend ourselves from what potentially could be something that's going to cause us to change. So Nathanael is looking at Jesus, and what he was told was Jesus is the one who was to come. And the first thing he wants to say is, man, nothing can come out of Nazareth. How can that be the Christ? How can this be the Messiah? But as Jesus says, I saw you underneath that tree. One of the things I think about what Jesus was saying is, Nathanael, you've been sitting around waiting for something to happen, thinking that you could control it. But I'm here now. And I am calling you into a service and into a way of living and being that will truly change all of who you are. In our world today, there are so many who are looking for someone or something that will help them understand more about themselves. And who better than the one who created us all? That invitation is not just to know Christ, but to allow Christ to reveal who we are in Him. And we who call ourselves Christians, who claim to be disciples of Christ, must remember that the words He spoke when He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you as the one I love. I chose you as the one that I will lay my life down for. And I chose you to go into the world and make disciples. I drafted you with an expectation and a hope that you would be transformed in your innermost being. Now, we can do whatever we can to try and choose how that ministry might look or the type of people we might go to. And I will tell you, I love, and for years, you know, with Mount Crawford, knowing that you all have the food pantry here and the work and the people that you have touched has been transformational for some. But I want to challenge you in a way. Don't let that be the only thing that you do as a part of your service. You see, what could end up happening is we can, after we get into the work of being a disciple, we can get so comfortable even in that work that we don't like to change where that work may lead us. Mark and I were talking briefly about that, and I think that's one of the things when we think about the life of the church right now in these past 10 months. What has this meant for the church? More often than not, we look at this. We're on Facebook. We've got folks sitting out in the parking lot listening to us on the radio. We are socially distanced here in the sanctuary. We've learned how to adapt to the need in order to continue to worship. But has it shifted for us how we go and proclaim the love of Christ? Or has it diminished that in us because of our fear? The fear is real. My family and I, we had our own little COVID scare. Fortunately, none of us, you know, tested positive for it. But yet we continue on in understanding that we must do what we have to do. But that does not shift for me or for my family, and hopefully not for you, how you share the love of Christ and the gospel that has changed and transformed you. In fact, this is an opportunity for the church of Christ to stand up and maybe in some ways change and shift itself so it actually is able to meet the needs of more than it did before. Now, the fact of it is, though, most of us, many of us, are afraid to share our faith. I don't know for how many times over the years of ministry I've heard someone say, I am not good at sharing my faith. I feel inadequate. I don't think I know enough. I'm not a good public speaker. That's one of those are the things that I've heard many times. The other one that I hear more often than not is that I don't do well with confrontation, and I feel like if I start sharing my faith, I'm going to get confronted, and I won't be able to know how to handle it. But our knowledge, our ability to think on our feet, we see that as a disadvantage, but oftentimes it helps us to remind ourselves and the ones we're witnessing and sharing with, we're human just like they. We don't want to get caught up in a debate, and we don't want to make someone feel like we're judging them. But the fact of the matter is, we do not confront them. Christ already has. I want you to think about it this way. You were drafted into a service whereby you would go into the presence of other people. And when you entered into the presence of those people, it wasn't by happenstance. It wasn't by chance. The Spirit somehow put you in that position because you were the person best suited to meet the need of that person who might be in a place where they too were searching and seeking. Your ability to relate to them is best suited to be able to help communicate the gospel to them. And so the fact that you are now in their presence means that the Spirit has already begun a work in them to prepare the soil for the seed that you have to sow. God's prevenient grace has already been at work in them to prepare that place for that seed to begin to take root. Don't deny those opportunities. And here's why. William Barclay, the commentator, shares a story of a man named Huxley. Mr. Huxley was around in the 19th century. He was an agnostic. And one day he was at a house party. Now, since we are in socially distanced, don't do this. And don't try this at home. But the party lasted through the weekend. And on Sunday, as everyone was getting to go to church, he approached one of the men and asked him to stay and explain to him his faith. The man knew Huxley's reputation and said that there was no way he was going to argue with him over such a thing as God. Huxley said he just wanted him to speak of what Christ meant to him. So the man proceeded, and in the end, Huxley was in tears and exclaimed, "I'd give my right hand if only I could believe that." An invitation, a simple word. The team that we are on, the one that Christ has drafted us to be on, has already won, even though the game continues. And each of us has a role, a position to play. And God has made sure that through His Spirit, we have the particular gifts and graces to be able to handle and do whatever that may be. So my prayer for you is that as you continue to listen and to act as the Spirit leads you, to those people that you may come in contact with, whether it be out at the grocery store or here through the food pantry, and I know there are certain limitations to everything, that you will remember that God has already placed you in the presence of someone who has a need that you are best suited to meet. Praise God for the gift of ministry. Praise God for the opportunities He places us in. And praise God for the love that He has shown us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I know that we don't take up the offering. That is something that you all do as you come in. So I'd like to pray now for the offering. So let us pray. Holy God, we again thank You and praise You for this day and for this opportunity to gather as Your people, to be able to hear Your word, to be able to whether sing or hum Your praises, most importantly in our heart. And so we come and we give unto You our tithes and our offerings so that the ministry of this congregation may continue to be vital and growing. And we ask Your blessing upon each gift and each giver, that You will continue to show them and to use them in powerful ways so that the love of Christ may continue to be made known throughout all the world. For all this we ask in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now we also have our pastoral prayer for prayer concerns, and I haven't received any. None. So with that, might shift something just a little bit here. If you have a prayer concern, okay, I'm going to stop briefly during the prayer. Just go ahead and blurt it out. God can hear them all. So let us go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Holy God, again, as we come before You, we know that You are capable of hearing all things and knowing all things of our heart. Before we can even utter the words, Your Spirit has already begun to lift them up to You. And so, Lord, for Pastor Susan and the family, for others who are sick this day, for others who are struggling because of lack of employment, for those who are struggling because the lack of a place to stay, Lord God, we just pray that You will lift them and encourage them. And we pray, Lord, that You will continue to move in powerful ways through us to meet and reach their needs. But Lord, we also come before You for those who have been weighing on our heart. And so now we lift the situations and those persons up to You. And in Your mercy, Lord, hear our prayers. Pour out Your Spirit upon each one of us gathered here and upon those who are not with us for whatever need there may be, that we may continue to grow as Your disciples in love and grace. All this we ask in the strong name of Jesus Christ. And all God's children said, Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Heinrich, for those inspiring words. I think it's always good to be reminded of the honor we have in being drafted for the service of Jesus Christ. We thank you very much for that message. For our announcements this morning, I'm taking them from the What's Happening page that our wonderful secretary, Cindy Kite, sends out. I appreciate the good job that she does along with Pastor Susan in keeping us up to date on the happenings around Bethany every week. A couple things I want to lift up. Our mission team wants to help the Stanton District United Methodist Churches with their Green Hanger project, it's called. They take gently used clothing along with socks and personal items, personal care products, and they give them to middle and high school students. So if you have those types of items or could buy some, bring those to church either on Sunday or during the week between 9 and 3 o'clock here at church and drop them off. If you have any questions, be sure to check in with Lori Mooney on this wonderful project. If you have articles for the February newsletter, please email them to Cindy this week, and they're due by this Wednesday, January the 20th. Also, we want to again extend Christian sympathy to the Huffman and Softly family upon the death of Debbie Huffman's father, Melvin, who died on January the 4th. If you'd like to send Debbie a card, there is an address in the happenings notification, or you can simply call the church office, and I'm sure they'll share that with you. Also, Jean Houff's birthday is coming up on Wednesday, January the 27th. So we want to shower her with love and lots of cards on her special birthday. She will be 95. How about that? 95 years old. Again, she's at the Bridgewater home. Also, if you need the address, it's in the happenings, as well as you can call the church office. Any other announcements then this morning? Jackie?
I should have said this during prayer concerns. First of all, Amy Michael has shingles, and so you might remember her. And her daughter, Hattie and her husband and little Decker, their grandson, have been living with them the last few months because Kyle, their son-in-law, is getting ready to go into the Army. But Hattie is scheduled for a C-section tomorrow for their new grandchild and their second child, so we want to keep Hattie in our prayers and just their household, with Amy having shingles, this just creates a really difficult thing for anybody that's having them. I understand they're extremely painful, so we just need to lift them up, and if you feel that you can, maybe provide a meal or something for them in the next couple of weeks, that would be wonderful too.
Great. Thank you, Jackie. For those at home or listening in the car, maybe you couldn't hear all of that. We want to remember Amy Michael. Pray for her. She has shingles. We also want to pray for Heidi, her and Donald's daughter, who will have a C-section coming up with the birth of their child. And so we want to pray for them. And if you have the opportunity to offer meals, that would be appreciated as well. Okay, let's conclude our service with our last song, Here I Am, Lord. Please stand and hum along as you're able.
The Lord. set them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. This is I, Lord. I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Let us all go, as Jesus said, to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them all these things that we have learned, so that we may go and continue to share love, grace, so that they too may know the peace of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Amen and amen.